everybody, I'm Joe. I have 25 years of dog training experience, and I am excited to share my knowledge and talk dogs. Let's get going.
Hey everybody, this is Rebecca with Dog Training 360, and I'm super psyched to talk every week with Joe, have great conversations, and talk everything dogs. Hi everyone, welcome to Dog Talk with Dog Training 360. This is Rebecca in Costa Rica, and we've got Joe in Utah, and we are here today to talk about boundaries. And what we mean by that today, what this discussion is going to focus on is physical boundaries, mm-hmm. or training, you know, the leash and loosely, you know, forcing training, and what impact those boundaries have on our dogs. I think it's a great topic, and I think it's not something that we think about in the way that we're going to discuss very often.
Yeah.
So let's get into it. So, I'll start with an example, and then I'm gonna let you play off of that, Joe, and kind of take it from there.
Okay.
So one example of this that I know in my life is, I remember when I first started training with you, Joe, way, way back. One of the things we worked on was a door boundary, for example, mm-hmm. like a front door boundary. And we were working with Austin at the time, and he knew nothing about anything. And so the goal was to have him show some manners around anything. Mm-hmm. And one of those things was the door. Mm-hmm. And so he could not, you know, the idea was he couldn't just go barging out the door.
Yeah.
And so we worked with him on that, and he learned to sit and wait at the door and go out when asked or invited. And that was all good. And so I carried that through, with all of my subsequent dogs, and it was all relatively fine. But then, In Spokane, the place that we lived prior to coming to Costa Rica, mm-hmm. I actually, at one point in our time there, we had four dogs in the pack. We had little Ox. Actually, for a minute, we had five. We had Oxford. We had baby Mocha. We had Dobby, my sister-in-law's dog. And we had Austin. And then for a while, we had my brother-in-law's dog.
Yeah.
With us. And so we, you know, kept going with that.
Mm-hmm.
But what somehow Oxford really, truly, I'll put it on his shoulders, picked up somehow, I think, from Hannah, the older German Shepherd who he knew only for a few months of his life.
Yeah.
But he learned that the most fun thing in the world to do is to barge out the door barking, mm-hmm. or barge out of the boundary barking. So he's very good at waiting at the door, mm-hmm. until invited out. But then the second he gets invited out, he looks back at whoever else is there in terms of dogs, like whoever else is around and alive and in the pack at the current right. moment. He looks back with this little mischievous look on his face. They all go barging out and they all start barking.
Yeah.
And so I remember, like, it was driving us crazy because we could not stop it. Like, it was just, you know, we tried all different things, and it just happened every time we let dogs out of the house, even with the door manners.
Yeah.
And so I said to Anne when we moved to Costa Rica, I'm thinking that's going to change when we move to Costa Rica, because it's truly indoor, outdoor living, and we're just not going to have doors anymore.
Right. Yeah.
And the truth is, it kind of it's shifted a lot. And so I think that's a good sort of, I mean, not everyone can live in Costa Rica and have indoor, outdoor right, living with yeah. doors, but I think that example illustrates what we're talking about. Like, mm-hmm. what do we put on our dogs that then creates something? Like,
yeah.
we've got the door manners. He's not going to go out without being invited. He's not going to get run over by a car. But as soon as I give him his release word, he's going to just go, you know,
yeah. Yeah.
And that's what actually drives me crazy.
Yeah.
So take it from there, Joe.
So what I am seeing more and more, which is really fascinating, and it definitely is not the Dog Training 360 way, is everything has this, you know, invisible wall. You know, I'll give you an example of a dog that I'm working with right now, where his whole life is about stopping at doors, and he goes from like the fifth floor of a condo all the way down out for his walk, and there's four doors plus a gate that we have to go through, and the closer we get to the gate, the worse he gets. And it just builds up and it builds up, and he has to sit and he has to wait. And then you open the door and it's okay. And he pulls to the next door and we sit and we wait. And by the time the fourth one, he's like jumping to the top of the door frame because he just like, oh my gosh. And then he gets out and he gets out the gate, and then he's just barking at the world. And he's yelling at dogs, and he's, you know, because we've just created all these boundaries. And the next thing is, you know, another dog, I want them sitting and staying until the company comes in. And then the company comes in, it's a big release, and the dog jumps all over everybody. And, you know, we're going hiking and I expect the dog to wait in the car. And then we get to the trailhead and I open the door and they just, you know, release them out, and then they won't come to me. And there's all these things that have happened in creating these really strong, hardcore walls, invisible walls, if you will, of, you know, you've got to have boundaries. You've got to have those stops. You know, we don't want our dog running out the front door and chasing people and dogs and getting hit by cars and all of that. But there has to be some information that it's not just this explosion through this boundary or a big release. It needs to be a soft release. And with this border collie that's staying with me that has all these really, he's really hardcore into it, where if I tell him to sit that at the gate, he like screams and carries on and whines, but he won't come through the gate. But if I have the gate help him understand what that boundary is, so when I open the gate, he comes through very politely. He sits when the gate's closed or I come to the gate. But as I open it, he comes through much softer because I don't give him that release. And at first, I just opened the gate and walked away from him so he could come into the house. And he sat out there and was so distraught because he was waiting for somebody to release him. Mm. And once he finally realized that I'm not going to release you, he like quietly stepped through that gate, mm-hmm. like he was going to get in trouble. And mm-hmm. and then he kind of came in a little bit, and then it kind of became more natural with him. And so he'll still click into that. But I just don't believe, I think that we can have manners at the door when our company comes in without expecting them to sit and stay. Can they go to their bed and then have a soft release is what I call it, where it's a non-verbal communication of releasing off the bed, our company is in, we're all milling around type of feel to it, instead of this big release off the bed or the big release from the sit stay at the door when the company comes in or through the doors, that there's little cues that can help them just softly come through those barriers, those invisible walls that we create. And even greeting people on the leash, when people are like, I need my dog to sit so people can pet them, versus I just need them to not jump on people. Do we really need them to sit, or do we just need them to not jump on people? And so there's these soft little boundaries that we can have, that we can change our perspective so that we're not creating these walls. My dog, we're meeting other dogs on the street and I'm holding them back and I, you know, and they're dragging me over to these dogs and, you know, I can get them to sit with no problem. But then as soon as I move, then they pull me over to the dogs, and we're just creating these big releases into something so much more exciting that it creates the bad behavior. And so some of these dogs are now on the leash just yelling at the other dogs because they've been held back, if you will, instead of naturally just walking on by or naturally, you know, mm-hmm. working, you know, we're going to sit and we're going to do treats. And this is, you know, we're not going to worry about that other dog. And if it happens to come up to us, it comes up to us. And so we've become a dog owners of worrisome so that our dog doesn't do a behavior when we're creating other really, really bad, rude behaviors in our dogs with these barriers that we're creating or these boundaries that we have, that we need to focus on this soft release and this more natural movement and create, like, let's go through the door together. You don't have to sit. You just can't be pushing your nose into the door to get it open, but we can go, you wait for me to politely open the door and we can go through together, type of mentality, so that it's not the sit at the door, woo, and then we all go out and start barking and yelling and letting everybody know that we're out type of feel to it, where I'm sure that you've noticed some, you know, being that indoor outdoors living space, that the it's not such hardcore boundaries, it's softer. They probably still have some excitement of heading out, but it's not this competitive piece to it that creates this icky feel around it, I would guess.
Yeah, 100%. And it's interesting. It, just like you said, that piece remains at times when there is a boundary that's hard, like, in the morning, for example, we close the house at night, and then, you know, we all wake up and it's time to go out and pee, and not 100% of the time, but it's, you know, maybe 50% of the time,
yeah,
we get that again, yeah, because we're, you know, somehow we haven't opened the door at the right, in the right timing, right, yeah, or something like that, yep, and they're excited and then they're, yep, like, wah!
Yeah.
But, you know, it's kind of cute sometimes. But yeah, 100%. And I think that way that you describe it of a soft release and also like we're just doing this together. We don't have to compete. We don't have to. We're just going outside.
Yeah,
it's okay.
Yeah,
is a really nice thing to have in life.
Yeah. And I think that just that feel, you know, sometimes when you're hanging out with friends, sometimes, you know, Rebecca, you would go through the door first and then I would go through the door, or I would, right, go through the door first. And it's this friendship that it's not a dominance thing. We don't need to go through the door first with our, you know, you wait there, I've got to go through this door first. It's, we're doing this together and nobody goes through first. Sometimes you're going to go through first because it just works. And other times I'm going to go through first because it just works. Right. But we've gotten into this really, maybe it's a self-gratifying thing that we can get our dogs to sit someplace and open the door and they sit and stay there and they don't move and they don't do this. And it feels a little bit hardcore to me. Of course we need safety things. And of course there's boundaries around that. And we go into that in our safety recall course, you know, you've got to have those boundaries before safety reasons, but it's not so controlling that it kicks in the competitiveness of a dog and the reactivity of a dog and the anticipation of it all, that they're just exploding out of things, or, you know, jumping on people so hard that it's knocking them over because they're just these walls that happen. And I think that it's so important to not create that. And this border collie, you know, what triggered them to call me is, you know, he was jumping, and somebody happened to open up that door on the other side as she was going through, and he bit this person on their face.
Oh my goodness.
Because he was just so, not like intentionally, like, you know, you would feel like it's not that aggressive. He was just,
right,
jumping and mouth open, and that person opened the door and it just happened to, like, that perfect storm. And,
right,
and, you know, this creation of these boundaries creates this reactivity or this reaction that's really negative on the other side. And we have to start softening up and realizing that we have these companions and they're our friends. And just like friendships, we all have boundaries and we work together on having a relationship, and it's a give and take thing. It's the same thing with our dogs. It's this give and take feel. And we don't have to be so hard. We don't have to be so strict about it. We have to have boundaries. We have to have soft releases. It's a friendship. It's a relaxed scenario, not a controlled situation.
Yeah, it's interesting. I have one thought and a question that follows.
Yeah.
So what this reminds me of is training classes that I've done with my dogs, not so much necessarily with you, Joe, mm-hmm. and Dog Training 360, but in other places. And we have done with our dogs, my dogs with you, Canine Good Citizen, mm-hmm. and I've done with my other dogs with other trainers. And it's a very structured course that's kind of the same, no matter who's, there are different flavors and different spins on it, but the elements of it are the same because it's a certification. And mm-hmm. and I love Canine Good Citizen. It's something that we might roll out here eventually, mm-hmm. Virtually for people. But I remember that part of Canine Good Citizen where you were supposed to meet a stranger on the street with your dog, and your dog is supposed to sit at your side while you shake hands with the person. Mm-hmm. And so to me, like as a new dog owner, going through that for the first time with Austin and then with Hannah shortly following, I got that kind of embedded, like, okay, this is the pinnacle of mm-hmm. training. Like, mm-hmm. this is what a good dog is. This is what a good citizen is, is when I meet someone on the street, my dog sits at my side. And then I'll say through other training classes outside of Canine Good Citizen, that philosophy, or at least that picture mm-hmm. has been carried through in other, you know, whether it was in a treat driven, all positive kind of world or I've been with multiple different trainers in different places I've lived. And that picture remains. Mm-hmm. And so, I'm curious for, since you've said a couple times, like, this is not the Dog Training 360 way, mm-hmm. translate that for us. Like, what do we mean when you and I say, this is not the Dog Training 360 way? How what is it, the picture that we have for, say, meeting, and how do you achieve that? Maybe, I mean, you've described the picture a little bit, like, mm-hmm. you know, you don't need your dog sitting necessarily, but you just don't want them jumping. So then how do you go about getting that with your dog? If I'm not going to ask them to sit at my side, what am I going to expect and how am I going to achieve that?
Yeah. So I think, Rebecca, there's two pieces to this. One, you know, if I'm walking up to, you know, talk to you, I want my dog at my side, and my dog is not a part of the equation. And so I would expect my dog to sit there, but I would not in that scenario ever allow my dog to greet you. Because that's the picture that I'm creating. Like, I'm not going to release my dog to you. I'm just going to stop, say hello. Hey, how's it going? I've got my dog sitting at my side. We're going to have a conversation, and then you're going to get in your car and go, and I'm going to keep walking in the park. And so there was no barrier set to say hello to a person. So
it's in other words, you're not having the dog interact with the person. Mm-hmm. This interaction is not about the dog.
Uh-huh.
This is about the people, and the dog, you know, can sort of do its own thing as long as it's being polite.
Yeah.
And not pulling you mm-hmm. or walking away or, you know, greeting the other person.
Yeah.
So, what does that look like when what's typical in my life, the person actually doesn't really care about me. Mm-hmm. They want to greet my dog.
Yeah. Yep. So
they might click hi, but then they're like, can I touch your dog? Can I say hi?
Yep. So I'll kind of create this really big picture with a lot of elements to it. Hey, Rebecca, let's meet, you know, down at the corner park. It's where we always walk. I'm going to bring Patsy. You bring Mocha. And, you know, let's go for a nice walk for coffee. Hey, you know, Thursday morning, 9:00. And so I'm at the park. I'm with Patsy. we're going to walk. You're bringing the coffee. You've got coffee. You've got Mocha, you know, and Mocha's walking at your side. And if we create these barriers where we're going to, you know, it's my friends and we're going to say hi, then you would be wearing the coffee or the coffee would end up on the ground because Mocha would be, you know, get out of the car and she sees us and there's just this over exuberant excitement that she's got to get to Patsy and she's got to get to me. And so we've created these scenarios versus we're getting out of the car. I've got my coffee. We connect. Hey, Rebecca, thanks for the coffee. Our dogs are indirectly, very passively saying hello. They recognize each other and we start walking. We never made a big deal about the dogs saying hello. It just happened. And so we have an expectation that you don't pull on me. I'm carrying coffee, walk next to me on a loose leash, and we're going to go greet Joe and Patsy. And it's this very soft feel to it because we didn't make a big deal about it. We didn't make them sit and face each other and then say hello. And then it gets all rowdy and crazy and, you know, our coffee's spilling on us. And then we try and start walking. It's we're going to walk together. You know, we're allowing this passive hello to happen, very natural. I'm not creating a barrier by asking my dog to sit. I just have an expectation that you can't pull on the leash. That's it. And so to get that and to gain that, there's absolutely training that has to be involved and there's absolutely expectations that have to be involved, but I'm not going to make a big deal about Patsy meeting Mocha. Where's our friend? Oh my gosh. Well, you've got to sit. You got to sit right there. Okay, wait for Mocha to get here. And so now I'm creating a problem for you and I'm creating this anticipation in Patsy that as soon as Mocha gets close enough, Patsy's going. Or I finally say, okay, say hello. And then she's pulling on her leash. And then that just goes against the grain of everything that we've been working on. And so, but if we hook up, you know, and you and I meet and you hand the coffee to me and the dogs are like, oh, hey, you're having coffee too. Let's go for a walk. And there's this very soft conversation that's happening with the dogs. That's a very soft release. It's a very passive calm. I'm not making a big deal because we know Mocha and we know Rebecca and we're just connecting in to say hello and to go for our nice walk through the park. But we make it a big deal by putting attention to it instead of saying, my only request is that you don't pull on the leash. That's it. Right. It changes the picture for the dog.
And so the same could be said, say, about the door boundary, where my only request is that you don't go running out of the door because it's a safety issue.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not creating a boundary that you cannot cross
right. With
a big release word. I'm just asking you to be invited out.
Yeah.
And for me to be able to check for safety. And so I'm going to open the door softly and walk out. And when it's okay for you to come out, you to come out softly, not, okay, sit there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right. Come out. Yeah. Yeah. So my release may be, Patsy, let's get in the car. Because I know everything's safe. So it's a very soft, it's not this like, okay, and then all of a sudden a dog walks by and your dog runs out. And you know what I mean? It's this, it's, oh, okay, we're good. Patsy, let's get in the car.
Right.
And you teach that through leash stuff.
Right. And if you guys have watched our safety and emergency course, if you're interested in that, what we teach is a door boundary and then a porch boundary.
Mm-hmm.
And then from the porch to the car or from the porch on a walk. And so the same idea. Like,
yeah.
Instead of Patsy, let's go to the car. Patsy, let's go to the porch.
Mm-hmm.
And what is the next step? That's up to you. But
yeah.
it's never this big, okay.
Yeah, Right. Yep. Kind of thing. Yeah, it's right. This kind of milling, like, okay, just get on the porch for me.
Right.
Or, you know, it's not about coming through the door. It's not about getting to the door. It's getting to the porch. And I don't really care what you do on the porch. Just don't come off the porch. And so we're just, there's definitely expectations and boundaries, but not these, we're not putting barriers in these boundaries. This invisible yep. wall in these kind boundaries.
Subtle distinction. Yeah. But
yeah. Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it makes a big difference. It makes a big difference if people will just let their dog come up to me and say hello versus making them sit first and then sending them to me, because their greeting is much more fierce when they, you know, and most of the time it's a jump versus just letting me through the door.
Right.
As long as the dog learned that they can't go through the door, just open the door and let me come in.
Right.
And then if the dog jumps, then you're addressing jumping. You're not addressing anything else.
That makes sense.
So we're not creating these problems. We're not creating the reactivity. We're not creating this explosion. We're just redirecting behavior, if you will. You know, if you can't say hi politely, then you can go over to your bed. But I'm not going to release you. I'm not going to give you a big release off your bed. But hey, you can't do that. So go over to your dog bed. And you can be there until you can come off politely.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, we create reactions by creating these hardcore boundaries around the boundaries, if you will.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense. And it definitely rings true to my life with my dogs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we find ourselves, I find myself like, oh, I don't even know why I released you like that, because that was really ugly, you know, and right. We do it because we're just like, okay, and let's go. And, you know, and then there's this big explosion and, you know, you catch yourself because it's just like, you want to be safe or you're, you know, you're not sure what's happening. And, you know, I the other day, Cheyenne was walking across with the horses and I had opened up the garage and I was taking the dogs out and I heard the hoof prints and, you know, I like triggered like, oh, I don't even know what's going on and why there's hoof prints out there. But I, you know, immediately stopped the dogs. And then once I realized, you know, oh, Cheyenne, she's got the horses, da, da, da. And I gave this big, you know, release, like get in the truck. But it was like, okay. And then, I mean, they just went racing instead of like, why did I do it? Why didn't I just tell them to get in the truck? They would have just gone over and got in the truck. But instead they were like focused on, you know, what are we coming out here for, you know? So, you catch yourself because it's a nerve thing or a safety thing or, you know, kind of like you guys didn't get the door open at the right time. And there's this explosion right. coming out. You're like, why did we do that? I don't know, but let's not.
Let's do something different.
But you'll start catching yourself giving your dog these big explosion releases when you don't need to, when it needs to be very calm and relaxed and together in a friendship and like, hey, you got to hang with me, because it wouldn't have mattered if the horses were walking by, you know, I don't even know why I stopped them like that versus, you know, getting them just to connect back with me and walk out with me, you know, but that's what I did, right. You know, so we find ourselves doing it all the time and it's more of a nerve or a safety or something catches you off guard. But it's just good to be aware of it. And it's good to think about, don't train it into them, because it is a bugger to get out.
And I was just going to ask that, and this might be a different podcast as a longer podcast, but what if we're still in Spokane and I've got this thing with the door and I can't leave my door open because obviously I live in freezing cold Washington. What do you do? Like, what is your broad brushstroke of, if we've created something
mm-hmm.
like this,
mm-hmm.
how do we start to tone it down?
You put a leash on your dog and you put a long line, so a 10-foot leash. So if they bolt out the door like that, you go get them and you bring them back in. And then you start thinking about your release and what that's going to look like and asking them to go through calmly. And you do that with your leash.
And if you've got a pack of dogs mm-hmm. like I did, What I would picture is not creating the pack scenario at first. If you're going to start to break this, do it one at a time, or would you still have all,
There's
three or four?
always one leader.
Yes,
There's
Oxford.
always the one that wants to, that's the competitive one. And
Okay.
that's the one that has the leash on. Because what you'll find, the others will go through fast at first. But when the leader doesn't head out barking, they will stop and turn and look like, what are we doing? And you're like, yeah, that's nice. You can come back in now and let's try this again. And they'll go out. So you always want to do it as a pack because you're functioning as a pack. And
Right.
you can train it individually and then they get together and they feed off of each other and you have that competitiveness.
Makes sense.
So you put the leader on the long line.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Like Cheyenne's dog, when he's out with mine, he is very competitive, very pushy, and he definitely we've been working on this all week of his like, you don't need to take my legs out from underneath me. Like we need to go out here politely, you know. And so we've actually been working on that, and he's on the long line for his bolting through everything, and everything's a big deal, and you know he's got to get there first, and he's got to make sure there's no cats in the yard, and so we've been working on that very heavily over the weekend because he's been out with the girls. So yeah, you have to function as a pack because that's what triggers it. Typically in that, you know, multiple dogs, it's you have to you find the one that starts it, and that's the one that you work.
That makes sense because they're not going to do it by themselves,
Right.
probably.
Yeah. Yep.
Unless, I guess, unless it's the scenario of meeting at the park for coffee, but
Yeah.
that's a
Yeah.
different picture.
Yep, completely different picture.
But heading out of the car, or heading out of the door, or heading out, these other physical boundaries that we create in our lives with good intention, keep our dogs safe.
Absolutely. Yep, for sure. For sure. There's just a softer way of doing it. There's just a friendlier way. There's a companionship way of doing it. There's a connective way of doing it instead of creating these invisible walls that just like it's such a crazy thing for dogs to create that. That it's soften down and make them do it politely, not creating barriers is not a polite way to do it.
And if we circle back to the dog training 360 mantra of training through the eyes of our dogs in the in their natural state of being without humans involved, don't have these types of odd boundaries that we
Right.
impose upon.
Right.
And so living in a pack of dogs, they're not going to have, I mean, they might play and they might bark or they might
Sure.
get excited sometimes, but they're not going to ever put each other in a situation where
Right.
they're like, don't go beyond this door until
Yep.
I say freedom.
Yeah,
So
the only
you
boundary that they will have is, we have a dead carcass and I'm gonna eat first and you've got to wait, but you don't have to sit stay, you don't have to down stay, you just have to wait over there till I'm done. It's very
Right.
soft. It's a very soft boundary.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. It's a deep topic. It gives everybody some thought, and I just want you to think about what that looks like. Again, don't make things unsafe for your dog, and definitely, you know, don't just open the door and let them go out without, you know, checking and having some boundaries around it. But don't create these reactivity, big releases from it. Use your leash. It's a great tool to help soften up your releases and get your dog to not be so reactive with these releases. So I hope this gives you something to think about. I hope it gives you some thought about having a companion at your side and doing it together instead of you being so controlling with your dog and the boundaries that you have around you. The Dog Training 360 Way. It's not just online dog training videos. When you subscribe to our course subscription, you receive access to get coached twice a week by professional, well-educated dog trainers of 25 plus years. You also get to take part of a private Facebook community where you get private training content, grooming, and nutritional tips, and an amazing community of dog-loving people. You also receive access to all of our dog training courses. Join us today at www.dogtraining360.com.